So good evening. It is Tuesday and this is Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And of course, Tuesday is one of my favorite day of the week. Why? Because I get to play with you. We get to talk about whatever we want. We get to be adults. And tonight we're going to have a really, really interesting show. We're going to be talking about sex. And I have on my show tonight Lydia Bonilla. It's a sexy name. Lydia is a very sexy name. And Bonilla, it just says it all. So anyway, before we go into the show, I just want to, like, you know, one of the things I'm always learning and growing doing this show, and I've only been doing it a year, and even though I get all these compliments and people say it's a wonderful show and all this good stuff, I'm still just a toddler. I'm not even a toddler yet, right? I'm just like a one-year-old that's learning how to do radio, right? And how to engage with people on the other end of the, you know, this atmosphere, so to speak. And so one of the things I discovered this morning is that I never really talk about what my show is about at the beginning of the show. And so I decided tonight that I would talk about what my show is about. So when I created this show, I wanted my show to be a space where not anybody can come on, but anybody can come on, where we get to meet with individuals that are just like each and every one of us who have just said, you know what? I have this passion. I have this desire that is inside of me and I want to give birth to it. I want to see what I'm made of. And so it's for people that are really committed to living their passions, whether they are entrepreneurs, whether they are attorneys, whether they are writers, whether they are activists, whether they're people who make movies, whether they're people that make intimate garments, people that are social media experts, whatever that is. Everybody has a skill and everybody has a talent. And I think it is critical that we are able to express that skill and express that talent. So my show is about having people come on, express their talents, whether they are bootstrapping it. But what I've found out in doing this show throughout the year is that many individuals, believe it or not, have come into the world knowing, you know, sort of knowing what it is they're here to do. I mean, who would have thought that an attorney would know that at the age of like a kindergartner would know that he wants to be a divorce attorney? I mean, like, I didn't even know the word divorce at five, right? Or he knows that he wants to be an immigration attorney. Those are two gentlemen that I had on the call before. Or a woman that is lying in post-operative breast double mastectomy who designs intimate apparel that is much more comfortable for women in her situation after coming out of surgery. So these individuals that I have on my show are amazing people who have amazing skills, and they're like daredevils and they just go forth and do what it is they want to do. So I just wanted to sort of make that brief and let people know that my show is for every man. It is about every man, every woman who is committed, in transgenders as well, who is committed to living life their way. So with that said, I'm not going to go into what I did this weekend. Oh, I went to Afropunk. Yes, I did go to Afropunk. I went to Afropunk. There was men in dresses, dresses in men, titties and bums exposed. There was every color hair that you could possibly think of. It was great. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I do suggest that if you get a free moment next year, you should visit Afropunk just for the experience. So anyway, enough of that. And so I'm going to welcome Lydia Bonilla to the show. And her company is called House of Plume. Welcome, Lydia.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited. I'm excited to be here.
I'm sweating like a donkey. So tell us a little bit about you. Where are you from, Lydia? What are you, you know, where are you from?
Yeah, so I grew up in Miami, to Cuban and Dominican parents. Mm-hmm. At the age of about 17, with like $7 in my pocket, I said, I'm out of here. And out of Dade County, and I got on a plane to New York and got a scholarship and, you know, just got into college from there and really just started my life. And I haven't been, I haven't thought about returning since.
Right. So you came here to New York when you were 17. I am absolutely sweating and my bag is way over there. And there are no interns here today to get it for me. I'm suffering. So you came here with $7, less than I did. I came here with $60.
Yep, $7. I remember we landed at Newark Airport.
Uh-huh. You came by yourself?
No.
Or you had a friend?
I came with a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Who 17. Who was an ex-con. You know, great life choice. Mm-hmm. You know,
at 17.
At
yes.
17. And I said, you know what? Yeah, I'll follow you to New Jersey. Yeah, that sounds like, you know, like a good idea. And he said, what? And he said, oh, well, you can go to Hofstra University. And I was like, what is that? I didn't even know what Hofstra was.
Right.
And so fast forward, I got there, got a scholarship, and that's it.
So you were smart.
I was smart. I like bad boys, but I was smart in the sense that I did keep up really good grades and I was like really active in everything.
Uh-huh.
So
what did you study in school?
I studied finance.
Finance. Okay. Mm-hmm. Bad boys and finance.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so then you graduated?
Yeah, I graduated from Hofstra, went straight into banking, and within about, I knew I didn't like it within the first year, but I was there for about 4 years.
Uh-huh.
And I saved money. I was like, you know what? I'm sick of this. I'm going to go do something different.
Uh-huh.
And I traveled. I just traveled. I quit, first of all, and just really traveled the world for about a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, wow, I need to make money. So right. I started to do something else.
So how did you get into sex products?
It was a kook in the sense that what had happened is that I had a lot of clutter in my house.
Right.
I had come from my house and I moved into a one-bedroom apartment and I had stuff everywhere. I couldn't find anything. So I hired a personal organizer.
Right.
And she was in my bedroom looking through different drawers and she came across that drawer. That drawer where most people have like something they're trying to hide. And, you know, I was like, well, okay, well, cat's out of the bag. You know, where do you put, access? Where do people put sex toys? Where do your clients put them?
Right.
And she said, well, you know, a box, you know, cardboard box, plastic boxes, just nothing like really sexy. And at the time I was like really into like decor and stuff. So I looked for a jewelry box and I could, you know, took out the insert to see if I can fit the toys in there. That didn't work.
Right.
And I tried a couple other things and then I forgot about it.
Right.
Really. And then I had a bad day at work and I said, all right, you know, what I'll do is I'll go to Babeland. And, you know, my vibrator broke. I was like, I'll just replace my toy. And as I was walking out.
Wore it out.
Well, yeah. I mean, what else do you do? Like when you've like had a bad day, but buy a sex toy. So, so I'm walking out and then I said, just, you know, absentmindedly, I said, do you have any storage products? And she said, no, but we get that question all the time.
Right.
And I went, oh wow, I'll just make one. And she was like, well, we close in 5 minutes, but I was like, I'm going to make it. And then I remember standing outside the store and I went on Facebook and I asked people like, where do you put sex toys? And there were some people that commented directly, and there were a number of people that direct messaged me because they were, like, I guess, embarrassed of saying. And I was like, wow, there's, like, something to this.
Right. So, well, being an entrepreneur is finding a niche or finding an area that needs to be fixed, right?
Yes. It's really all about, like, finding a need, addressing a need, and a lot of times a need that you didn't even know you had.
Right.
Yeah.
So what was it like with your first prototype?
Oh my God. My first prototype was, I still have all the prototypes too. They were pretty, pretty ugly.
Crude.
They were pretty, pretty crude. Yeah. It was just, you know, taking regular like household things and, you know, comparing, you know, products from different industries like travel products or, you know, products from jewelry and just really comparing them and seeing what features worked and what features didn't work.
Right.
I was fortunate enough to come across to find a really good design team who was really instrumental in putting together what the thoughts I had of what it should look like versus what was actually functional.
Right. So you have some products here. So you want to show them?
Yeah. Come on. So.
All right. So she's going to like pull out the some toys and the product and the box.
Yes. So this is called the Moi Box. So the Moi Box. Moi Box.
M-O-I?
M-O-I. So the funny thing about that word, it means me in French, but it's actually my nickname. That's right. My father's nickname for me. So I don't know. I was like, you know what? Why not? It's cute. Moi.
And it's personal.
It is. It's personal. So it comes with this travel case that's actually
really
popular.
So what's the travel case made of?
So the box itself is made out of lacquered wood.
Uh-huh. And this one's purple. Is that purple?
Yeah. So yeah, call it eggplant. I call it eggplant to be bougie. And it has like these leather details.
Yeah, leather details.
Yeah.
Like we would just like do it like how we're on.
Yeah.
On
and
the
so the inside has a little like ledge that allows you to hold the case on top and actually store larger toys at the bottom.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, it's functional, it's pretty. And what's really popular is the travel case.
You've got a travel part, see? So yeah. You don't have to bring all your toys, but you can travel with a few of them.
Right. And, you know, and the premise is that when you're having sex, you want to like have some toys by the bed and then maybe some toys in the bed.
Right.
And as well as when you actually travel, you get on a plane and then they go off. You know, if you have them on your carry on, they go off. You know,
what do you mean they go
do?
Off? You mean they stop buzzing?
Well, some people that experience that, but, you know, they're large. Some of them could be large objects and you get stopped
right.
by TSA.
Large objects. Yes.
Yeah. And so, you know, people have been embarrassed where they take them out and they start waving them around and all this stuff. So
TSA is waving them around. It's disgusting.
I mean, some people are just like mature or just really not exposed. I don't know. But, you know, it happens. So
right.
The zipper basically allows you to just like if they want to stop you and they want to look inside, they can just open it and they don't have to touch it.
Right. Yeah. Because you really don't want people touching your toys.
No, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You know, it just messes everything up if you
So
do that.
Who has been buying those?
So very interesting. What I came across when I launched is that half of my customers are men. I really anticipated that the majority of customers would be women.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that men are buying them for women.
Oh, okay. I thought gifts. Men were buying them for men.
So that's a portion, but the larger portion is they're buying them as gifts for right. anniversary, Valentine's Day, Christmas. They, you know, men really want to experiment, and the thing that they come across is, particularly if they have children, is, oh, I don't want to use them because where are we going to put them? You know, the kids are going to find them.
I've got a story about that. So yeah. We're going to hold that thought when we get yeah. right back. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Who do you want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo, woo!
What's that?
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
So this is Noreen Sumter, and we are on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way with Lydia Bonilla from the House of Plume. I remember when I first met you, I always thought it was House of Pum.
You would think that.
House of Pum. Hilarious. And for those of you that don't know what Pum is vagina. Pum, pum.
Pum, pum.
Right? I think everybody knows that these days.
Or in Spanish, it's pompilla.
Pompilla?
Pompilla, yeah. Yeah. I'm going to be like, watch your pompilla. I'm like, such a weird...
Well, pom-pom's kind of weird, too.
Yeah.
It's like some kind of fruit or something. You don't want some pom-pom. Would you get that at the grocery store?
Yeah.
No. So anyway, so tell me, like, sex. I mean, how has that, like, been in your life? Is it, you know, when did you, virginity, like, that kind of thing? Mine was, like, 16, and it was just, like, this really great thing, right? It was, like, losing my virginity was, like, this whole operation, it was so great, right?
You had a great experience losing your virginity? Oh, yeah, my God.
No, I still talk. You traumatic. Know, the funny thing is I still talk to the guy that did it.
Really?
And this is like 150 years later.
I think the guy had sex with is probably in prison. He's probably in prison.
For child molestation. No. The guy that I had sex with, he lived down the street. We grew up together. We're still friends today. We still talk at least once a year. I call him up with a funny voice and, you know. It's really great. I mean, I think that sex is critically important, and I think that your first experience should be great. Should be at least enjoyable. You know, not like, I don't know. Mine was great. I did a whole study.
Well, my first experience, I was 14, and I simply had sex because the guy said that I should. Because that's what you do when you love someone. You said you love me, right? So you'll do it. And I was like, I guess. So I did it, and it was
14.
It was like awful. It was like going to the OBGYN, as I discovered later.
Mm. No, mine was great. Like I did a whole. It's so funny because
he stole my stereo, and then my
bad boy.
He stole my stereo. I had to go. I had to go to his house and get it. My mother was like, where's that stereo? It was a stereo and a VCR. And I was like, I'll go get it. And I was like, you know where it is? I was like, I do.
Was this before? Was this after the experience? After he got the virginity?
I don't know. It was just dumb. God, I was not that, you know.
Well, don't worry. 14. When you're like 90, you'll have Alzheimer's. You won't remember. So it's like. So sex. Like you've done, you were at a sex hackathon this weekend.
Yes.
And so you were creating sex toys, helping people to create sex toys.
Yeah. So what we were doing was, what I was doing was helping the participants like with their pitch. Mm-hmm. So in the earlier part of the weekend, they had created teams and created, you know, different product ideas. Right. And it, you know, we basically gave them feedback as to what worked, what didn't work, what they take out of their pitch and what people were looking for, mm-hmm. and all of that. So it was really fun, you know, looking at the different things people would come up with, right. particularly when they didn't know much. They didn't know each other,
right.
which was interesting. And just seeing like the things that people would come up with. And, you know,
what's one of the most, cause I would imagine that, that sex and technology has a really good inter-involvement, if there's such a word, like an involvement, like they're with using technology, sex can go to like levels that we really didn't even think possible.
Yeah, that is really, that's something that's happening now with like virtual reality and augmented reality. Like there was a guy, I don't remember the exact name of his thing, but it was basically like blowjobs via augmented reality. And it was like kind of whacked out a bit, but it was well executed. I mean, the guy was like an expert in augmented reality. It was just weird. To see, okay, this is what men want. This is, you want to stare at a woman, like, give you a blowjob?
Yeah, I think it turns them on, don't you think?
I think it does. And, you know, to his
if
to
you're
his
a
point,
man out there and you hey, Mark, if you're a man out there and you think that staring at a woman while she gives you a blowjob, what's the experience for you? Does it turn you on? Does it excite you? Do you like to watch? Call us and let us know what your experience is. Call us at 877-480-4120. Like I said before, this is an adult show. So if you can't take the adult activities, get out of the computer. Don't watch us and don't listen. So, yeah, I think that, like, I remember when I was a youngster and there was this show, movie with Charlton Heston's Logan's Run, right? Mm.
I heard a little bit about it.
Yeah, Logan's Run. Yeah. And so inside of Logan's Run, they had this, nobody had sex anymore because we were so polluted, mm-hmm. right? Babies came off of a conveyor belt. And there was this room that you went into. And in I guess at that time, it was like, and this is like, everybody just did this, right? And that's how they got off. So, but what I'm realizing is that if you think of Logan's Run today, they were actually talking about technology. Technology mm-hmm. was the thing that they implemented because they couldn't have, individual sex anymore. They had technological sex. Whereby, you know, you use technology and you could go for, and even there was some other show that I was watching, you could go from one room to another room and you can press a button, you can get any kind of woman or any kind of man that you wanted. And they came in, you had sex with them, and then you just pressed the button and they went away.
Yeah, I mean, that's not that much different from sex dolls.
Right.
Which is, you know, becoming more and more common.
Those things are so expensive, though.
They're getting down in cost. They started off really expensive and now they're much cheaper. Like once mass production enters, it can get
right because I was watching a show. It was like $30,000 for a sex toy.
Oh no, it's much. It's like a quarter of that now.
Oh really? So you can get one for like 10? No,
like
five.
Four less than that, I think. Yeah.
Oh my god.
It's so weird. I am not a. I can understand the usage for people who would not have connection any other way. You uh-huh. know, for people who are either disabled or are really, like, you know, freaked out about interacting with people.
Like people who have immense phobias or something like that.
Exactly. You know, they're dealing with something, and then if they, you know, if there was an option between no connection and a sex doll, then I can totally understand it.
Yeah, but the thing about it, sex dolls are usually women dolls for men. Are there any sex dolls which are men for women?
I have seen that, yeah.
Oh, you have?
I have seen that. But I don't know how, if women would be into that. I mean, I want a man to, like, cook and fix shit. I don't, can a sex doll do that?
But what if
can you hook up the cable? Can you, like, fix the wires
that are
hanging out?
Well, you could pay somebody to come in and do that, I guess.
You know, that's what I would want a man to do. Like, go cook something. Go.
But I think that, I mean, it's the same as a vibrator, right? A sex doll.
Well, they're much more sophisticated as far as, like, some of them can, like, interact with, like, they can interact with conversation.
And they can learn your movements.
And learn your movements. And yeah. They have all these facial expressions. It's creeped out. It's creepy to me. Honestly, it's creepy. What's more concerning
you
for me.
You can't store that in a box.
Well, absolutely. And
oh, you make bigger boxes.
right, bigger boxes. But what's really concerning for me is that the premise that people think that they would be able to just order a personality, order a woman to do what she wants, what he would want her to do. Well, and he would never have to deal with himself. He'd just, press a button, or no, I don't want her to talk back, or no. It just sets up like a really false reality and like an inability to really communicate. I think it would just...
So what about what if you had a husband and he wanted a sex doll? I'll just let him have it.
I mean, I guess you're married, you know, you can keep an eye on
it. Thank God, I thought it was too late. What, but boys, what time? Oh,
okay. All right, so go ahead. So, yeah, I would just let him have it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it just all depends how long you've been married and like what, you know, what your
yeah, but what if that's his thing? I mean, like, you know.
No, it can't be your thing. It cannot be your thing. No. I am your thing. That's it. That could be your.
Yeah, but this thing doesn't get a headache. Doesn't get mad at him.
Yeah, no, it can't be your thing. That I'm not going to share my house with no damn sex doll. No.
Really?
No. Absolutely not.
Really?
No. I am the head bitch in charge. No.
I think I would let him have it. Yeah. I would let him have it.
You can have an experience, but if like, imagine if he just like set it up on a couch and be like, no. Oh yeah, we gonna sit down and watch Power. No, we not. We not doing that. No.
No, he can't sit and watch Power with it, but he can have it in his little study or something. he can do his business. I think I would just let him have it. It's a toy, you know.
Okay.
So, like, sex. So, what's the weirdest? Yeah. Well, not weirdest. What is the most adventurous? Because I don't think there's anything weird about sex, really.
Mm-hmm.
But what is the most? I know what I don't do, but like, what is the most adventurous thing that you've experienced in the world of sex, in your creations, helping people create toys, or even in like courses that you've taken and things like that? And would you recommend these things to people?
What I find the most interesting is people's fetishes.
Uh-huh.
Fetishes can get really specific and really like, I mean, like really mind-blowing, like what uh-huh. people are into.
Yeah, people are into some weird stuff.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
sitting on cakes with naked bums.
Yeah, or like the
I could do that. I think it'd be good to just do it for one time, you know.
Oh God. Okay. But what like people who dress up, that's like
cosplay?
Yeah, like people who dress up in costumes like that.
I like that. What's wrong with that?
I can't do that.
What's wrong with that?
It's nothing wrong with it.
I think great.
I think it. No, not. I'm talking about like, you know, getting dressed up like as a Disney character.
Oh,
you
I
know?
Think that's great. I think
or
that's fun.
Being or like diapers. There's just like people are just into a lot of things. But you know, I think a lot of it is a lot of it is just things that are repressed from childhood that people are expressing.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a healthy expression, I mean, who cares?
I know there's some people that like to dress up like babies, and if they have enough money, they have a whole nursery.
Yeah.
And then I've seen people that like to have things like desserts and things thrown at them. And,
oh, wow. I've seen
people that like to dress up or get together with cuddly furry animals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That
what are they called?
I've seen that.
I can't remember what they're called, but like, yeah. So I don't think anybody, as long as it's not harming anyone.
It's just an expression. Yeah. I think. It's just really
and I
expression.
Think also it's important. Yes. It's important to, if you meet somebody and they're into cuddly toys, I think they should let you know that they're into
cuddly
toys.
Immediately.
Because it's like, I mean, I think it would go over my head for a little bit. Like I walk in and you've got like millions of cuddly toys. I think it would go over my head until I realize, oh, he's one of those. He likes to do, as long as they let me know, I think I'd be okay with it. As long as he's not spending all the money on cuddly toys. Anyway, we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Oh, God.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to SecretsOfTheSire.com.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth Tripp, your host of Nourish the Soul. Join me to uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to living a healthy life. Join us every Wednesday at my new time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
And so we're back. This is Noreen Sumter on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And tonight we're talking to Lydia Bonilla, who is the founder of the House of Plume. Lydia creates intimate sex toy boxes.
Yeah.
So that you can put your sex toys away and have them in a nice, neat place. There's also a travel case if you want to take your sex toys on a trip with you. Or you might want to have them by the side of the bed, and you might want to have some in the bed, as disclosed by Lydia. So I want to share with you a quick story about a toy, right? So so you know, there's a little girl that I used to come to my apartment every day, and mm-hmm. I'd take her to school. So one morning, she comes down early, and I was in bed with my boyfriend, and so the sex toy, I had this big blue sex toy, right? This big blue monster, right? Sex toy. And it was just like lying on top of the bed. And so she comes in because my door was open, and she would come in. And so she picks this thing up and she goes, "What is this?" And I'm like, "Oh, Jesus Christ." I said, "It's a baton," right? "It's a baton like this." And she goes, "Oh, what do you use it for?" And I says, "You know, like when you're running races and you need something for your foot." Just making up all this crap, right? God. And so she goes, "Oh, okay." So another time she comes in and there's another one. She goes, "What's this?" I said, "Oh." She goes, "You guys, you just love your foot, don't you?"
Yes, we like big feet.
We like your foot. So like now she's like 16. She goes, "Noreen," she said to me last year, "Noreen, you know when I was a little girl and I came downstairs and you had that foot on the bed?" She goes, "It wasn't it." She says, "It wasn't a foot, was it?" She goes, "It was a sex tie." And I says, "Well, now you're grown up. Yes, it's a sex toy."
It's a sex
but
toy.
Yeah, I guess you make those. The box is a really good place to store them.
Yeah.
So that your children don't come down and pick up your feet. So like if you've got feet lying around on the bed or in the bedroom and your children come in, mm-hmm. the box is a good place to put them. So what are some of the stories that you've heard about people and their sex toys? I know like.
Oh my God, I've heard so many. The most interesting one, or like the quirkiest place, what I hear is the quirkiest place people put sex toys. Uh-huh. So one woman would put them in a diaper box because she said that's the last place anyone would look for them. She put them in a wipey box.
How many people live in a house?
She had kids. I don't know how many.
Oh, she had kids.
Mm-hmm. Under the bed, you know, I've heard a lot of stories of death packs.
Death packs.
Yeah, so people say, in the event that I die and someone is coming into my apartment, you are responsible for getting these toys out of here.
Why? Yeah. What is that?
The shame. They really think that, you know, people are really going to judge them. And that
death packs. Oh, my God.
And then they'll have to explain, like, that.
Mama was a freak?
Yeah, well, whatever. You know, I don't know. People just have a thing that it's like it's the worst thing that could happen to
you. I bought my mother her first sex toy. I also bought my sister a sex toy, and she put it in the Goodwill box. Do with that dildo I bought you?
Very
she goes,
goodwill,
I put it in the Goodwill box. I
a
says, you put it in the Goodwill box? She says, yeah.
Yeah.
That's really weird. No, but the death pack is, come on. Like, are we still in that age, the dark ages where it's a shame to have?
It's getting, people are more liberated now, but that I still hear that.
Wow. Wow. So you should get, maybe what you should have is boxes with a combination lock.
It does actually have a combination lock. I don't think it's, is it here? But yeah, it does have a combination lock. Three numbers.
Oh, so nobody would be able to get in there. So, like, if you got a death pack, they'd have to bust it open or something.
Yeah, I mean, look, I didn't make the box, like, you know, to make it so hard that if you can't get into it when you're having sex, you know what I'm saying? I didn't want to make it so difficult.
Right.
But I did want to make it discreet so that it didn't get confused with something associated with sex.
So what's your interpretation of people and the idea of sex? Are we becoming much more liberated? What's going on?
Depends.
I think sex is great. So, you know.
I mean, sex is wonderful. It's amazing. It's an incredible expression of, you know, who you are. And
it's healthy for you as well.
It is. It's incredibly healthy, right? It does so much for your skin and for your, I mean, your well, you know, just your overall mood.
Right.
It depends on what we're talking about, like where in the world are we talking about. I think here in the United States, there's a fight for identity of what, you know, the sexual identity is what asexual identity is. There's
What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, it's becoming much more acceptable to be either gay, transgender, or non-binary, or, you know, just have all of these different expressions around.
I don't understand the non-binary. I have no idea what that means.
That basically means not wanting to be
labeled.
Yeah, that there are people that are, you know, gender fluid,
right.
You know? When I meet people in that realm, I mean, I ask, you know, what, you know, how do you want to be
referred to? And they usually say my name.
Either that or, you know, they might mention it, but yeah, I don't get too hung up on it.
I've only known one person that did not want to be referred to as a she or a he.
Mm-hmm.
So I just called it by, well, see, there you go. I just called her by her name.
Right.
Right? Because it's just so, it's something that I was born with. Like, I know that you're a he or a she. It's just the way I see you. So it doesn't mean any offense if I call you a he or a she.
Right.
I mean, I can try.
Well, it's the limitations of the English language.
Right. Exactly.
There are the other languages where, you know, gender fluidity is not such a big deal.
Right. But maybe, yeah, different languages and stuff. But it's like he, she, or the next thing is it. This is it.
This is it. This is it. Yeah.
So do you think people are getting a little bit more liberated here? I always thought that when I first came here and when I used to watch TV, I thought that Americans were extremely liberated. And then I realized, oh, we're not as liberated as we say we are.
I think Americans make a big deal about talking about sex in a very immature way.
Uh-huh.
So the demonstration of sex, like the, you know,
what's the call-in number? The call-in number is 877-480-4120, and this is for Andy McDunn. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. So yeah, there's that. I mean, there's, you know, what sexy is defined in our society. It's still a Barbie doll.
Oh, God.
You know, that type of thing. And then there's, you know, different expressions of it. But then at the same time, then you have the what happens via, like, religion and the government coming from a completely different spectrum and trying to limit it. So I think the United States, or really Western culture, is in a fight for what is it going to look like.
Speaking of sex, do you think that they should actually legalize prostitution in the United States? Like, I mean, we're actually doing drugs like cannabis. What about prostitution? Do you think we should legalize that?
Legalize prostitution.
I think we have a caller. Oh, we've got Andy. Who is Andy? Put your headphones on.
Oh, okay.
Hello, Andy.
Hello, ladies.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
I am doing fantastic. How are you?
Wonderful. How can we help you, Andy?
Hey, just what's your curious sexy about talk the box?
Tonight? Oh, you're curious about the box?
Yeah, where do we order it? Where do we go?
So you can go to houseofplume.com to order them, as well as I just signed on with a great national retailer, Adam and Eve. So if you are a customer of Adam and Eve, please purchase them there as well to show support.
So House of Plume,
sweet.
Do you want to spell
that? What
about
the couch auction? Has the couch been auctioned off yet or no?
Thank you, Andy. Have a great one. Andy's a little strange. He wanted the box
I'm
and
really
a couch.
Interested about this couch now.
I don't know what's going on with this couch. I think the wires have been crossed, but we'll ignore that and keep moving. So,
right.
What do you think
about...
Go
with God, Andy.
Yes, go with God. And let God go with you. Okay. And so, legalize prostitution. I'm all for it.
I am. And then my concern is, what do you do with the crimes that come from it? So,
Do you do with the crimes that come from it right now?
Well, it's all illegal.
Right.
So,
but I'm just saying, in terms of, I think that it should be legalized. I think it should be organized in a way that women get to the right to, if they want to sell their bodies, they have that right. I think that it should be organized in a way that you have a license, that you have a monthly checkup, right, to make sure that you're free.
Yeah, there's a structure that can
you,
be put in place.
Pay taxes on it. And I think that... there's a possibility that because there's so many different fetishes and so many different kinds of sexual activities that can be out there, that if you don't have a license, you can't, you can't work. And I think maybe I'm naive, but I think maybe it would take away a lot of this sex trafficking type thing.
Well, absolutely. I mean, what happens with industries that are that operate, but under in the dark, is that a lot of people get taken advantage of.
Right.
You know. So in that perspective, I am for it. You know, I am for women being in charge of their own bodies and being in charge of their own, destiny in that way.
Right.
Maybe because I still think like a compliance person, I think, okay, well, how's you gonna execute that? You know, I think about the execution of how could it be executed in a way that works for everyone involved?
I don't think that we would have to reinvent the process. I think that it would be great. We could go to Germany and Amsterdam and places like that.
Yeah.
And see how they've been able to keep it, manage it, how they've been able to manage it for so many years.
Right.
Yes, those countries are quite smaller, but I think that if we started there, it could actually make a difference.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm all for women.
It's going to happen anyway.
Yeah.
It's happening anyway. So it's a question
of why not
how
legalize it and make it safe.
Right.
For not only the prostitutes, but also the people that use their services.
Yeah.
And I think it would literally take it off the streets, so to speak, maybe they could have designated areas for that kind of activity.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to take a break and we'll come right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth Tripp, your host of Nourish the Soul. Join me to uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to living a healthy life. Join us every Wednesday at my new time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
So we're back. This is Noreen Sumter on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And no, we're not selling any couches. We're not selling any couches. And the box is for sale. And you can buy it at
houseofplume.com.
Houseofplume.com.
You're a customer of Adam and Eve on Adam and Eve's website.
Right. So we were talking about, so like, what's a question that you would like for me to ask you? Ask me that question and I'll ask you. That's one of my things. What's something that you'd like me to ask you?
Oh my God.
So many.
Oh my God, you're putting me on the spot.
I always do that.
Ew. I don't know.
So you had sex at 14. What's your experience from 14 to now? What's your experience with sex?
Wow. So my experience, that's a great question. So how my experience of sex has evolved.
Yes.
Since being 14. So if my mom is watching, hi, mom, I had sex at 14.
I had sex at 16 and my mother
mom
was
is
the
a
first
Facebook
to know.
Fan. So
she's going, Lord of mercy.
Ay, Dios mío. Is probably what she would say.
Mine was like, Lord of mercy.
How it's evolved is that I really don't give a shit now. You know, before when I was in, you know, my 20s and I would say still early 30s, I cared a lot about the other person.
Really?
You know, I still cared a lot about the other person, or like doing things with my body because I felt like I had to do it to please this other person.
Right.
Or to keep him or whatever. And now, you know, like on a first date, I ask, like, do you eat pussy? Do you? Oh, you don't? Oh, wow. Then this won't go.
So eating pussy is very important to you. Oral sex.
Oral sex is kind of
I like eating pussy. No, I don't like eating pussy.
Love the word cunnilingus. Say it, cunnilingus. Cunnilingus.
All right.
Yeah.
Now we're starting juvenile. Go ahead.
So it's just like now it's like just being like straight up front about it and just get it, you know, just get it out of the way. Not make it a big deal.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
See, yeah. I could, so with me, with oral sex, eating pussy, cunnilingus, I could take it or leave it, right? Like, I did date a guy that didn't do it. I dated him for 18 months, and he didn't do it, but he could really do it. Like, I mean, he was really good at, like, intercourse. It was just so great. And then I dated a guy who was just really good at cunnilingus.
Yeah.
I mean, just the thought of seeing him, it was like I would fall to my knees kind of thing. And but like I always said, if I could get this guy and that
guy
and put and meld them together, it would just be the most awesomest sexual experience.
Yeah.
But of course, no, they're either good at one thing and they're not so good at the other.
Yeah.
And you know, like that.
Right.
But I tell you what though, I wouldn't want to be a man and have to have sex with women.
Yeah, I would not want to deal with a vagina at all.
No.
Because they're complicated.
Yeah, they're extremely complicated.
Yeah.
No two vaginas are the
same.
Yeah. None of them, you know, there's all kinds of tiny ones and big ones.
And then the clitoris is all over the place.
Yeah, different ones.
Like,
and,
it's
you know,
a lot. It's
so
a lot it's, going on.
Yeah, and what the thing about it is that, like, women teach men. Men don't teach women, right? I don't think men teach women. I think women teach men because
I've had great, great lovers that have taught me things.
Yeah, well, they can teach you stuff that they've learned from other women.
I didn't ask, like,
where
they learned it from.
So I remember dating this guy, and we were having cunnilingus. Lingus, it's like an airline, right? I was flying. And he started to pull his teeth.
Who?
Drag his teeth down my clitoris. Like, my vulva, sorry.
Okay.
And I said, what are you doing? And he said, oh, my other girlfriend used to like that. So I said, no.
Get your teeth out of here.
No, but like I said, women teach men things.
Right.
Men don't
teach. Well, there are men that think, yeah, that trick is going to
work
with every pony.
Her. So unless we say what works and what doesn't work, they're just going to continue to do what they do.
Yeah.
I remember taking a class and hearing some figures, some percentages of, like, just say, I'm going to make it rough, but just say, like, they did a test where they had women they did a test where they asked women how many of them had experienced pain when they were having sexual intercourse, and did they ask the person to stop? And it was about 75 or more percentage of women that said no, they didn't ask them to stop. They just like muscled through it.
Yeah.
And then they did another survey with men, and most of the men said, no, you got to stop. Stop it immediately.
Yeah.
Right. Whereas women, I think it's also because we want to look good. I don't want no pain, though.
Well, we just now socialize to believe that pleasure is your right.
It is.
Yeah. That's not a something that's really taught.
I think
you kind
that,
of come like, across it.
I think that I learned that early because my parents, like I always say, my parents were doing it, right? They were always having sex. They would send us to church on Sunday so they could have sex. They would never go to church. They would cross it. Like my house was here. We'd go across the street and then you'd walk down and go around the corner and then you'd go into the church. Right. And then you'd come back same way, same route. We'd go come across the street and then we were home. But my parents literally sent us to church so that they could have sex. My parents were always doing it. So I knew sex was something that was enjoyable because they were doing it. And I always knew that was the best time to hit up my
father. No, I had the actually opposite experience. So my mom is a Jehovah's Witness.
Uh-huh.
And I remember... So the Jehovah's Witnesses have a bunch of literature for teenagers and dealing with different things and different issues. And one of them was like a booklet about sex.
Uh-huh.
And I remember my mother showed me a picture of a fortress. And she was like, this is an open fortress and this is a closed fortress.
Uh-huh.
You are to be the closed fortress.
Uh-huh.
Do not let boys
touch. Was it like doors or something?
Yeah, it was like the drawbridge. So it was like drawbridge was open
uh-huh.
and then the drawbridge was closed.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're going to be the closed drawbridge. Don't let boys touch you is what, you know, the message that I got. So
I don't remember my mother ever saying anything like that to me. Don't
well,
let
they
boys
were having,
touch
they
you.
Were just, they were doing stuff.
They,
so.
They were having sex. Right. My mother was and father had sex all the time. It was healthy. And when I was in school and my girlfriends were having sex at 13 and 14 and coming back to school with their vaginas all swollen and bloody. Right, literally, right? They'd be like, Noreen, I'd be like, what's wrong with you? They say, oh, we're not going to talk about it because you're going to throw up. Which is, I knew something wasn't right because my mother didn't walk around all swollen and bloody with walking with her legs apart and going, oh, I just had sex with your dad.
Yeah.
You know, so I knew something was weird. And that's why I really made it into a study before I actually had sex. I went to the doctors, I read books, I did interviews. I went the whole gamut. That's why my experience was so good because I was knowledgeable.
Oh, no. My experience was like, once I went to the OBGYN, I was like, oh, my God, this was like when I first had sex. This is awful.
Right.
Terrible.
So that's another thing, OBGYN, right?
Mm-hmm.
Treatment, taking care of that. You know, beautiful little space.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And you do have to like, you know, orgasm normally because what could happen, a lot of women experiences, your uterus can actually drop.
Uh-huh.
You can, it's called, I think prolapse uterus. And it's actually from not having any activity.
Well, I'm fucked then. And I, you better get me a box.
Not literally. Not literally.
You better get me a box and fill it up.
Oh, God.
No, well, we're going to solve that problem real soon. So we got three more minutes for the show, right? So we have three more minutes.
Yeah.
Lydia, is there anything that you want to... First of all, I'd like you to give people your email address again and tell them where they can pick up the box.
Yeah. So my website is houseofplume.com. And I'm a little concerned if I give out my email address, it can be really weird.
Houseofplume.com.
Yeah. Houseofplume.com is the website, you know, check it out. Let me know, what your thoughts are. And gosh, what else can I say in this short period of time? So the box itself is $99.
Uh-huh.
If you sign up for the newsletters, it's 20% off. And the travel case is also sold separately
uh-huh.
At $24.99.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm.
So you can start with the travel case and build yourself up to the one that you leave on the bedside table.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, yeah. Lydia, I just want to say thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah.
I hope you had as much fun as I did.
It was fun. I learned a lot.
You did.
Yeah, I did.
That's good.
And I did not know about like all that the fur stuff. I knew something about it, but I
what,
saw
the plushies.
It. Yeah, I saw it and I just like shut it down.
I think
when
I could be a plushie. I like dressing up.
Yeah,
you know.
Okay.
I know it sounds terrible, but I really think I could be a plushie.
Okay.
I like dressing up. I like teddy bear fur.
Okay. Okay.
Just none of these silly guys here.
Right.
Ever call me. But anyway, I just want to thank you for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
And would you come again?
Absolutely.
Great. So I just want to say thank you all for listening. Even the naughty, naughty men that were calling in and saying naughty, naughty things. thank you. Thank you for being on the show. And thank you. Thank you. And I'll see you again next week. This is Noreen Sumter from Beyond Potential. Dressing up like a plushie. See you all soon. Bye.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi. I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to SecretsOfTheSire.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your Conscious Consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.